Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Tristan and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. We're up to episode 72. We've got a special feature today with Chris Weidman. I'm Tristan Cannell and Johnny Stofko.
I'm super excited about having the All-American Chris Weidman on the show. This guy is a former UFC middleweight champion. He's getting prepped for the largest UFC event in history in his home state of New York at Madison Square Garden, UFC 205. So we're going to have Chris on the show as he's going through probably the most awful time of the year, a weight cut.
Yeah, so we really thank Chris for his time and also Zach for setting up the interview for us. So big shout out to both guys. Before we get on, big thank you for you guys for tuning in and leaving us all those awesome 5-star reviews on iTunes. If you haven't yet, it's a quick, all you got to do is search the Vision Board Podcast on iTunes and just leave us that quick 5-star review. Helps us grow, helps us continue to bring on the best and the best and the biggest best in the world.
Of course, that's a tongue tie. Best. But also, if you're Android users, SoundCloud as well. We have a good presence on SoundCloud. It takes 5 seconds. Type in our name and just hit subscribe. We appreciate all the support. Also, when you see us posting stuff, latest episodes, features, get involved, guys. We love the communication. I know we get a lot of feedback already, but we could always use more. It just works as fuel and motivation for us.
Definitely, guys. Before we bring Chris on, just check out Onnit. Onnit's been a big supporter of us since around June when we visited them in Austin, Texas. So big shout out to Onnit. We've got all the supplements that me and Johnny use on our page, www.thevisionboardpodcast.com/Onnit. Onnit's also been very, very kind enough to set up a 10% discount for all you listeners out there. And Johnny, what's that discount code, my man?
Yeah, when you're shopping through their page, just use keyword Vision Board. Receive 10% off of your purchases. They deliver to Australia. And it's not that bad. It's
$10. I got done it the other day. I've got my Buffalo bars and a little bit. I wanted to try the Alpha Brain that you've been raving on about. So
for sure,
I was interested.
Yeah, if you guys are into basically optimizing, that word was really started resonating with me when I first started getting into Onnit, human optimization brand. Basically, having your mind body working more effectively, more efficiently. So that's what their products are all about.
Definitely, I'm really excited to actually get Chris on. I like Chris because he's fought the best of the best. You know, he brought it. You know, he did lose his title, but I'm sure he lost no fans from that at all. And he's fighting for the first time, as you did mention at the start of the show, in his hometown. I think it will fire him up, but his opponent is wicked.
Yeah.
Yoel Romero he's only had one defeat on his career. He's lining up as a number 3 ranked contender. It's going to be a huge fight.
Oh, this isn't a title eliminator for sure. The winner of this fight between Romero and Weidman gets a shot at the belt. Now, currently, Bisping's holding that belt, but 2 weeks after this card, the end of November, you're going to have a couple. The middleweight division will be a little bit more clear with the winner of Luke versus Jacare then Brunson versus Whitaker. But in my opinion, the winner of Romero versus Weidman will get the shot at Bisping. So I think Chris has an awesome opportunity for a little bit of redemption and to silence those doubters. The kid has victories over Vitor Belfort, Hall of Famer champion, Lyoto Machida, champion Hall of Famer, Anderson Silva, the Spider, the most feared man in mixed martial arts, some say the most talented of all time, beat him twice. Damian Maia, currently on the hottest winning streak, probably on his way of being a welterweight champion. Mm-hmm. And he just fights everybody. And we'll see if we could get Chris at 100%, his body, you know, he goes in a lot of these fights beaten up like they all do. It'll be fun to watch. So I'm stoked for this fight.
Oh, the whole card. What we'll do after the interview with Chris, we'll do a little fight preview. We'll go from the prelim card, which is brilliant, from the Fox Sports, the UFC Fight Pass, to the main card, which probably has the best main card in the history of the sport.
It's just the card is just stacked. So we're looking, it's something that we're going to do a little bit differently. We've never really done a fight preview with a former champion. So we're going to, you know, just preview the certain fights. Like Tristan aforementioned, you got veterans like Rashad Evans fighting to Tim Kennedy. You got, you know, middle of the roaders, contenders like Pitbull, Thiago Alves versus Jim Miller on the, you know, prelim card, on the fight pass card. You got veterans like Rocky Pennington versus Misha Tate representing the bantamweights in the women's division. Frankie Edgar versus Little Heathen. We haven't even gotten to the main card. You got Joanna Champion versus Kovalkiewicz. Connor versus Eddie. Fucking Cowboy versus Gasly. Dude, I can't wait for this card, man. I'm stoked to chat about it.
Definitely. So, guys, stay tuned. Here's Chris Weidman.
I got something for your mind, your body, and your soul. our special guest is a former UFC middleweight world champion, currently ranked number 2 in the rankings. He's got a big fight coming up, and he joins us live. Chris Weidman, welcome to the show, my man.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me.
No worries.
Chris, to get the show started, you know, it's well documented. In a few weeks, you'll be fighting at UFC 206. I want to know a little bit about going through this process of you getting ready for the fights, the training, the preparation. Could you share some insight on maybe some things that you would change about the whole process in getting your body physically ready to fight?
Hang on, we met 205, correct?
Yeah, 205.
205. I thought you were talking about the rendezvous thing. What do I change? I haven't really changed too much, man. I guess I did. The one thing I changed is try not to get injured as much as possible. So I'm trying not to overtrain as much. I used to overtrain a lot. So I used to do maybe like 2 or 3 hard workouts every day, and now it's pretty much like 1 or 2, and one of them is not as hard when I'm doing 2 a day. So I'm just trying to cut down on injury.
What did you do to cut down? Because I'm at Johnny all the time, because Johnny is an absolute energizer bunny in the gym. It's hard for him to walk away from training all the time. What was it? Was it a mental thing? Or was it one of your coaches just saying that you just had to change?
I went into a bunch of fights injured, and especially when I lost my last fight, when you lose because you're injured, then it makes you really, really, you know, I'm not trying to blame my loss, I'm just on injury, but when you don't go into a fight 100%, and you lose, it's different than when you win. So I think the loss is almost like a blessing in disguise for me to finally have the confidence to change some things. So changing, one of the things I changed was, not as many crazy workouts.
Yeah, Chris, can we focus on that adversity? A lot of guys, fighters or not, in life, when they go through these moments of adversity, it'll consume them. When I watch you in the press conferences since that loss, you see you're definitely a champion who is on your way of getting your belt back. How have you been able to harness that loss and apply it into a positive way into your current training?
Just because, you know, I guess you just got to realize that's what life is, man. Life is filled of maybe some success and then also a lot of setbacks. So I think just knowing that, you know, sometimes you're going to have setbacks and that's not the end of it. You know, it's just part of life, and you got to be programmed to deal with that type of thing and just keep a positive mindset and keep on moving forward, you know. So that's it, man. You don't want to lose. No one wants to lose. No one wants to have a failing business, but a lot of businesses fail, and you know, some of the most successful people have been through more failures than success. So it's just part of life.
Chris, you've got a great record in the UFC. You know, you've beat Anderson Silva twice. From losing the title to Luke Rockhold, what was the main thing that you learned from that fight?
I think it's my, like, just not going into a fight when you're not prepared the right way, and you're banged up, and you have those question marks in your mind. And you know, when you're going against another tough guy that wants to beat you, those question marks could be the reason why you lose. So you can't have those question marks. You gotta be smarter in training, I think, and that's really what I think I learned the most out of it. You know, Luke is a tough guy. Went out there, I wanted to beat him, and I lost. And from that, I realized, you know, I got to just train. I got to train smarter. I got to go out there 100%. I was close to 100% as possible. And I think that's kind of the biggest thing I got from it.
One of the things that I really enjoyed from that 205 presser was I forget the woman's name, but she asks a question for you, and she basically thanks you for carrying the New York MMA scene on your shoulders for all these years. And so having the opportunity to fight in MSG, this hallowed ground of not only athletes, but just, you know, famous moments, what does that mean to you to be on that card, and what are the pressures like right now?
Man, it means a lot. You know, obviously just being from New York, born and raised, and never being able to fight in my home state. Always had to fight in Jersey. And then since I got into the UFC, I've never even fought on the East Coast, so I haven't been able to fight near my home and probably my large fan base, part of my fan base and closer to my family and friends. So to be able to do it right here in New York is a dream come true. Especially, you know, I definitely did put a lot of time in working, trying to get this thing legalized, and so for it to finally happen and be able to make that walk would be really awesome. As far as pressure, I put a lot of pressure on myself just to go out there and win these fights and dominate. and come out looking like I'm on a different level than these guys. So fighting in New York is, I think, going to be just an exciting thing as opposed to like an extra pressure. I think it's going to be just cool to have less booze and maybe some more cheers.
Chris, tell us a little bit about your bromance with Stephen Thompson, because you're going to be sharing the card on November 12th. I like both of you guys on social media. You're quite active together, and seems like a great relationship. I know that you guys are brother-in-laws, but it must be great to have someone like that in your corner as well.
Oh yeah, you know, he's great, man. So I brought him in for my first Anderson Silva fight to help mimic Anderson Silva for me, and we've been close ever since. And then it kind of went to another level when my sister married his brother, so it made us family number. So he's so it's pretty cool, man, to have a guy like that. You know, he's a very positive, cool dude, and just such a team player. So I'm excited to be able to, you know, share the locker room with him and be able to make that walk to that cage the same night, and hopefully get two W's.
Chris, speaking of W's, your resume speaks for itself, man. You have victories over, it's almost like every champion: Vitor, Lyoto, Anderson twice, Damian Maia. The modern day like state of the middleweight division, you know, you're fighting Romero, you got Brunson fighting Whitaker, Jacare fighting Luke, and Bisping holding that belt. Are you kind of sitting back? I don't want to say you're looking ahead, but you beat Romero. And what's that? What are you even looking at? Who's next, or is it just a goal of just getting the strap back? What's it? What's the thought process like?
Yeah, no, I want to get that strap back. That's the money strap. That's where it's at. That's how you make the money in this game. So it's nothing personal with any of these guys. Even Luke, you know, obviously I would like a rematch at some point, but the goal is to get that strap back and make that money. So, like you said, I think my resume speaks for itself. I get a W over Romero, and hopefully get that title shot.
Yeah, after Johnny brought up all those, you know, brilliant fighters that you have beat, if you could just pick one, what's your proudest moment and your best victory there?
What's that?
What's your proudest moment and your finest victory, given, you know, your resume?
My first Anderson Silva fight, just because he was the guy kind of was watching for a long time since I got in the sport. He was the champion and the best pound-for-pound guy the whole time. And my goal was to win the belt and win it from him. And I got there in time and got the job done. So winning that fight was amazing because, you know, I won the belt and accomplished the dream of beating him. So
with the advent of, you know, a couple characters in the recent years of UFC, you know, Ronda Rousey, McGregor, it seems like a lot of new fans, quote-unquote new fans, not really historians of the sport, have surfaced. And a few years ago, I saw you, I was down at, you know, we live in Sydney, we were at the Bisping Rockhold card, and you had traveled down there. I think you were with Sterling, I think Matt Brown was with you guys. Is that something that, as a fighter, you know, you're paid to have your body optimized? Is that something that you would change, like needing to travel to these far places just to promote the brand, or do you enjoy doing that?
You know, sometimes it's a pain in the butt, but a time like that, going to work, I've never been to Australia, and I kind of wanted to take advantage of that and travel. It was just timing-wise, it lined up good. I brought my sister out there, gave her that experience too. So it wasn't like a trip where I was like, oh man, I don't like doing this. You know, I enjoyed the whole thing, and at that time I was champion, so you get the first class seats. I was fine with that, just chilling, watching movies, and for like 24 hours.
Yeah. So, have you made that trip yet from LA to Sydney? Not first class. Have you done just regular coach?
Hell no.
It's awful, dude. Don't do it. If they try to talk you into coming back to Australia and don't give you first class, I wouldn't do it. You need it.
I'm gonna listen to you. With you.
Okay, on a funny note, Chris, one of my mates asked me to ask you about your first date with your wife. If you could share that story without fans.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it. I'm gonna make a quick notice for you. But basically, the long story is funnier. But I'm in a rush over here. But I basically first time hanging out with my wife, I was at her house and I was waiting for her to get dressed, and I was hanging out in her room before she was getting dressed, like in the bathroom in the shower, showering up. And next thing I know, I had an attack. I had one of those stomach diarrhea attacks. I'm like, oh my god. So I gave a couple knocks on the door, and she's like, what? And I'm like, I almost done. And she was like, no. And so I went back into the room. I was trying to like pace back and forth. And then I went. They only had the one bathroom, and the other bathroom was in the parents' room upstairs. And I wasn't doing that. They were both home, up there. So then I knocked again. She said one more second, and when she said that, it was just go time. So there was like a small little office garbage can in her bedroom, and I just pulled the pants down and filled that sucker up, and I read the whole thing. And then I had the garbage bag. So like, and then some fell on the floor. Like I didn't. Some guy on the floor. So I tied the garbage bag up. I walked past the parents with the garbage bag full of crap, and I threw it in the garbage can, came back inside. And as I come back inside, she starts coming out of the shower. So I take my sock off, and I throw it over the crap that's on the floor. And I just take a sit on, I just sit on her bed, trying to act like everything's normal. I guess I wasn't as smooth as I thought. She's like, what's that smell? And I'm like, I don't know. And she's like, why do you have one sock on? And she looks at my sock on the floor. And then she picks the sock up off the floor, and she sees crap, and she looks at the garbage can, and she's like, did you just crap in my garbage can? I'm like, what? No. Yeah, and that was pretty much the start of our relationship.
Chris, that's an awesome story. Just to finish up, we've just got a personality question just to wrap it up, mate. Okay, Chris Weidman, you're going to be hosting a dinner party. You've got 5 invites. It can be anyone, dead or alive. It just can't be any of your family or friends. Who do you want to invite?
Wow. Let me think about this. I'll take number one, Jesus. Number two, Ali. They have to be dead, or they could be alive too, right?
Yeah, dead or alive, my man.
I'm thinking Ali, Tyson, Royce Gracie, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln.
Excellent, Chris, man. We want to say thank you for spending some time with us, sharing this space, and do your thing at 205, brother.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
No worries. We'll speak soon.
Guys, that was Chris Weidman. Very lucky to have his time. Obviously, he's cutting weight. He's in preparation. We're literally, what, only
2 weeks out?
2 weeks out.
Yeah, UFC 205, the largest UFC event in history. Pay-per-view, Madison Square Garden. Guys, if you don't know, MMA has been regulated and illegal in a lot of places throughout the world, and in New York City was one of those places. So it's a big deal getting that, the go-ahead to fight, do mixed martial arts in New York City, getting to fight in Madison Square Garden.
What was the issue with New York?
I'm pretty sure. I'm not an expert, but I think it comes down to not the UFC, but mixed martial arts. So the idea that there are multiple disciplines all being thrown at once. If somebody knows that accurate answer, feel free to email us. But it's when I moved here 3 years ago to Australia, how
it's kind of strange, but
how MMA was illegal in Brisbane.
Madison Square Garden was one of the meccas of boxing, yet cage fighting.
That's what it is.
That's probably why they said it's technically cage fighting.
That's what it is. And that's where it fell under these weird legalities.
But I guess it's a huge opening when you think about it. It's probably the biggest market in America, correct?
The biggest white space for sure in terms of growth, like sports-wise. I read a stat
sponsors
the other day.
And things like that.
Just the fastest growing sport.
In and out of the actual
also be,
city.
Also being dual gender, though, if you're looking at MMA as a sport holistically, it's not just a one-sided American football thing with just males.
Yeah.
So, and it's people from all over the world. If you look at the 205 card alone, you got the headliners, an American versus an Irish kid. Then you got, you know, one of the headliners, they're both from Poland. Two women representing the strawweight division.
Joanna. Strong women, too.
Yeah, and Carolina Kovalkiewicz.
Bus, what we're going to do, guys, we're going to take a little bit differently. We're actually going to, seeing that this episode is a little bit different, you know, usually we get long interviews. Today, we didn't want to take too much of Chris's time because I know how much he's, you know, he's probably hurting very, very badly when he's cutting weight. So
Chris was literally laying on the mat doing this interview, and the kid, if you don't know, he fights at middleweight division, so that's 185 pounds, but he walks around at around 220. So that is a brutal, almost 40-pound weight cut, and he's 2 weeks out. So he's getting ready for that suffering, those suffering bits of just not wanting to be around people. If you listen to the Boss Rutan episode, Tristan and I, recently did. Boss was talking about when he would get ready for the fights, he was just didn't want to be around anybody.
Yeah. Seems that, you know, if you're not a heavyweight, because obviously if you're a heavyweight, even Mark Hunt, does he cut to make weight?
I think so, man. I was just, a lot of those guys have to cut to make weight to get to
that. So I guess the heavyweights don't get, like, so, boxing, the boxers don't have to cut when they're a heavyweight. But
well, there's a limit there. I think in the years to come, they're going to add a super heavyweight division because the heavyweight division is only 265. You know what I'm saying? So Lesnar had a cut to get to 265.
Super heavyweight division. Can you imagine how big those guys would be?
You would think there should be, man. I mean, you got Stefan Struve in his mid to late 20s who's seven foot tall. It really hasn't grown in his body. He's going to be struggling to make weight as the years pass. But there's a lot of guys. I think there's a super middleweight division in 1FC. And there's a lot of big boys out there, a lot of Eastern Europeans that won't be able to fight in the UFC because they can't make that 265, but are athletic as hell. So the name slipped me, but there's a Russian specifically who is an Olympian wrestler, and he is just an animal.
Yeah.
He's scary. So guys like that to pretty much add more value to the UFC and its brand, I feel would be smart to add that extra division.
Yeah, I guess so. I think it expands. I would actually wouldn't mind seeing an extra women's division. Cyber, I think she'll get her own division.
She's walking around at 170. To even force her to, why not just make a 145 division, which she would still be tough to make weight, make her the champion. There's women all around the world who are fighting at 145. Just because there isn't a division right now in the UFC doesn't mean there isn't anyone to fight.
What's Ronda fight at? 125?
135.
135.
Yes, she's a bantamweight. And right now you have the bantamweights and the strawweights. For instance, Alex. Alex, you know, our friend Chambers, friend of the show, she's an actual atom weight.
Yeah, she's tiny for her division.
So when she was given the opportunity, when Dana White did the first ever female Ultimate Fighter House,
you're not going to say no.
She couldn't say no. So yeah, she had to bump up a weight class, and now she's fighting at strawweight. But her natural fight class is atom weight.
That's the thing. Like, and for a lot of the females, like, they're just fighting at their walking weight. And it can be hard because unless you're Manny Pacquiao, because Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather, they fight at their walking weight right now.
That's a boxing thing.
That's what I mean. But they've also got a lot of experience, and they're out of this world.
Yeah, agreed. But don't get it twisted. A lot of the women aren't fighting at their walking around weight. Amanda Nunes, the champion of bantamweight, fights at 135.
Oh, yeah, she
but she's about 160.
Yeah, no
same
doubt.
Thing with Ronda. Ronda has to cut.
That at that smaller weight division, you can tell some of these girls, Alex, Michelle Waterson, they could make a weight under quite comfortably.
Yeah, but they have to, you know, due to the limits of the weight classes. Like Chris, for instance, Weidman, he's not a natural 185. The problem is there's such a big jump between a 185er and a 205er, and there's nothing in between. So we brought this up on prior episodes. I feel one day they should add another weight class in between the middleweight and the light heavyweight, and also in between the light heavyweight and heavyweight, because 205 to 265 is huge. I guess, think about that jump.
Yeah, you're right. And I guess crazy. It depends on where it goes with things like having external, like obviously there's Bellator at the moment. So if Bellator was to survive, like, because if there's no Bellator, there's more fighters. So then you can kind of start building in those different divisions, wouldn't you say?
I think in the long run, Scott Coker is doing an excellent job running Bellator. And I think the UFC needs Bellator to succeed because competition draws people in and competition creates numbers.
Yeah, and Chael's back too.
Chael's back. You know what? And a funny thing is, it's going to be interesting to see this, is the UFC, we brought this up recently, is a really stringent testing policy using USADA, adopting the Olympian testing policy. For all I know, Bellator doesn't have that. So what I feel, you're going to get these guys, maybe, you know, I know Belfort just retired, but a TRT Belfort type of guy who maybe isn't getting the money he thinks he deserves in the UFC, getting drug tested, maybe being limited, going over to Bellator, knowing that he's probably going to get paid more and he won't have to worry about these drug policies. I'm just interested in seeing how that's going to start taking shape.
Yeah, well,
Sonnen's been busted before, he's fighting in Bellator.
Yeah. He was on Fighter Than Kid this week trying to explain the legalities behind the whole
thing. He's a very intelligent guy.
He's very intelligent.
Sonnen is very intelligent. I got mad love and mad props for Chael Sonnen. But the facts are the facts. You know, this, he was part of that generation of fighters that started fighting with no policies. Like there weren't any drug policies. And then all of a sudden it was thrown on them. And they were almost the guinea pigs as well because there weren't any structures to it. If you hear Chael talk about when he was down in Brazil doing the Brazil fighter house with Vanderlei, That was the first time fighters had been tested, and they literally had guys in street clothes coming up to them with needles saying, you got to pee and we have to take your blood. Yeah, that's where it was.
Yeah, it was interesting what he said this week, that he actually declared to the UFC that what he was actually on. They knew what he was on.
He was on Clomid?
Some sort of...
estrogen blockers.
HGH or something.
Okay.
Something like that he was saying, but they actually knew it, and there was some sort of clause, and it was interesting how they actually still suspended him. But that's another thing. If you do get time, have a look at the Fighter and Kid episode because it's quite good.
Yeah, Vitor Belfort is an interesting story too because 5-6 years ago, it was legal to go to a doctor, no matter what age you were, get a note from the doctor giving you access permission to TRT, testosterone replacement therapy, and you'd see these guys, like when Belfort fought, oh my God, that hit, his traps were through the roof, and then it went from being legal to overnight saying, Vitor, you can't only take TRT, but you're not allowed to take estrogen blockers anymore either. You can't take Clomid. So these things are now regulatory hormones to allow Vitor to get back to his homeostasis body, but he wasn't allowed to do that anymore either. And you really saw that in the Weidman fight when Vitor fought Weidman. That was his first fight, not being allowed to do the TRT and not being allowed to restore his body to its natural state, and he just looked like a hollow shell of himself. So the UFC is still learning too. Like, it's almost like they're learning on the go and learning on the run, which I think as the years go, it'll get more well polished.
Yep.
And you know, it'll just be interesting to see what Bellator, the type of policies it adopts. I kind of want Bellator to not adopt one and see like some like Bobby Lashley character in the Bellator 6'7", 330, all muscle, and just going, you know, old Pride days sort of thing. Yeah. Pride FC.
They can pick up one more big name. I think Bellator, there might be a bit of an avalanche towards it, especially when you think that
Rory is
the
there.
The whole Reebok thing is...
Benson is there.
Yeah.
Hopefully Michael Venom Page stays there. If you guys don't know who MVP is, man, he's the guy who did the Pokemon knee on Cyborg, the male Cyborg, and caved his whole forehead, and it's grotesque to watch. But Michael Venom Page is an English kid, a Brit, karate point style, kickboxing style, who is a savage, and hopefully he stays there.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. All right, guys, let's go through the card. Why don't we start... Did you want to talk about Thiago Alves and Jim Miller?
You know, that's going to be a scrap. Jim Miller is like a fight of the night bonus waiting to happen, and the pit bull is an animal. Well, and 20, that is on the prelim card.
Prelim. He's 27-8, Jim Miller, and Thiago is 21-10.
Yeah, these are both guys that both are like perennial contenders. Nobody wants to fight them. They're, unfortunately for Jim Miller, he's turning into one of these guys of, you know, when contenders come and go, they put him up against Jim Miller. He's kind of like that gauge. All right, let's see how good you are. Now, Thiago's a veteran. Thiago's not a young up-and-comer, but that's both where they are in their careers, and each one needs a big win. And on a stage like MSG 205, don't be shocked if that goes like definitely one of those guys gets a post-fight bonus because neither one of them are going to shy away from contact.
Well, I guess being on the prelim card, they've got to go for it, don't they? I don't know too much about Jim Miller, but I know about Thiago, he's a great fighter, so I'm going to go with Thiago only just because I don't know much too much about Jim. So sorry, Jim.
Yeah, no worries, man. Jim,
like, I'm sure it's going to be a great fight.
Yeah, I've been in the game. You know, I'm 34 now. I've been watching the game since I was 14. Jim Miller is one of the. He has a brother in MMA. He's been in wars. Joe Lozon, some very famous fights that come to mind. But all the MMA fans out there, they know who Jim Miller is. Who you got on the prelim card? That's one. Tim Boach, the Barbarian versus Natal is an interesting one. That middleweight division is going to be shaken up. Yeah, so you got 205 on November 11th,
yeah,
and you got 206 November 27th. So going into December, those rankings are all going to be shaken up because you got Chris fighting Romero, you got Brunson fighting our boy Rob Whitaker in Melbourne, you got Jacare fighting Rockhold in Melbourne, and you also got that Boach Natal, and then who am I missing?
Yeah, Boach Natal will be a good fight. Natal, he got dominated by our boy Rob.
He's tough as nails, though.
And Rob broke his hand in that fight, too. He couldn't put him away.
He couldn't put him away. Did you, that head kick Rob caught him with at the end of that third round, it's like you hit that kid with a baseball bat and he's still standing there. And we brought it up talking to Rob. It's kind of like, how do you not get deflated in that moment when you hit somebody with a shot like that and they're just still there?
That's true. But the thing with Natal, he's still ranked, so I think given that and the bounce back factor, I think it would just be enough to take him.
Oh, you like Natal? I like Boach in that fight.
All right. You like Boach?
Yeah, I like the Barbarian in that fight. Yeah, I think that Boach hits really hard. I think he's savvy. I think he needs a win. Both guys are going in there hungry. I'm going to take Tim Boach on that fight.
Awesome. Next one, prelim card. I reckon this might be the best prelim card in the history of UFC. It's good enough to...
Now, these are the prelim cards on FS1. Yeah, not the first ones we just mentioned are on Fight Pass, guys.
Yeah.
Fight Pass has become the Netflix of the UFC game. You can literally watch every fight ever, all the way back to the Pride FC days on the Fight Pass. So go on the FS1 prelim card. Who you like?
First fight is we've got Muhammad, who's 10-1, versus Luke, who's 10-5, man.
Yeah, Bilal Muhammad, he's fought Reese twice in the last upcoming months. This kid's an up-and-comer, and he's dangerous. And Vicente Luke is also a good young fighter. They're stacking these prelim cards with guys that they feel that they're going to be able to climb the ladder.
But it's good to see these two. They probably haven't as much exposure as a lot of the other fighters, so there's going to be plenty of attention on this card, and it's a good way to introduce them to the world. So I do like Muhammad in this fight, but Luke's a good fighter as well, but it should be a good way to kick off the Fox Sports 1 prelim card. Next one, we've got it's one of the ones I'm actually really, really looking forward to watching. One of our fan favorites, Rashad Evans, who's 19-5. A couple of these, most of the defeats have come in the last couple of years, really.
Yeah, he's a former champion, man. He's world class. He's one of these guys that, because you see him doing his sports analyst, and he was a former champion. In my opinion, I kind of get invested with these fighters. I don't want to see him take too many more beatings.
Yeah, hopefully he's got one last good fight, and then he can kind of maybe. Because he's got his career in the media and things
exactly.
like that.
Exactly, and he's had some brutal knockouts, man. Yeah, he's gotten knocked out cold. The John Jones knockout?
Yeah.
Out cold.
Yeah.
And like,
who did he fight last fight? He got knocked cold too.
I don't want him. If somebody's, you know, if we had our YouTube set up similar to a Joe Rogan setup, you know, they got the YouTube accessible to Google these facts. But it's just Rashad, you know, he's been in the game so long. He's had some huge wins, former champion, fighting a guy, Tim Kennedy.
Would you agree that Tim Kennedy, if this was a straight fight, Tim Kennedy would probably beat every single person on this card?
You think so?
Think about he's been to Iraq and all that sort of stuff.
Well, and he's also
special forces. He'd kill everyone.
Yeah, when we were training, literally. He's a trained killer, like both with weapons and his hands. When we went down to Onnit and trained.
He was there, right?
Yeah, he was there, and I looked at him. I was like, this guy fights at middleweight?
He's pretty muscly huge. Guy.
He's only my height. He was only 5'11", but he had, you know, when your back turns into like bat wings? He's that type of build.
It's true.
And, you know, but I don't know,
man. Liking,
man. I like Rashad.
Tim's coming off a few losses, too. I'd like to see Rashad, but I don't know. The head thinks maybe the younger guy.
Tim's not young.
Is he younger?
Hell no.
He's got at least a couple of years on Rashad,
These guys are old heads.
Oh, Rashad's 37.
I'm saying Kennedy's at least 35.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing.
I'll tell you in a second. I will pull it up. But in the meantime, let me see who he fought in his last fight.
Kennedy was away from the UFC for a while because he had some beef going on with Dana Reebok deal. You know, you crossed Dana White.
He lost to Glover, man.
To Shera.
Yeah.
Rashad did.
Yeah, he lost to Bader as well. And then he didn't fight for a while since beating both, Chael and Dan Henderson in a row. So,
yeah. How old's Kennedy?
I'm just bringing it up now, but Rashad's 37, man.
Yeah, he's on the twilight of his career, especially in that division.
I guess maybe this is the swan song for both of them, really.
Yeah.
They're both ranked, but, you know, unfortunately, I think maybe the better name is he's born in 79.
Tim Kennedy's 37.
So 37, 37.
Yeah.
The old boy fight.
Yeah, I think that this is one of those things to just, sometimes it's good to see a card like this, a card of this magnitude. Evans and Kennedy have been trying to fight for a long time. It gives them that space to share that space on a hell of a stage, so it's probably almost like a,
well, due.
I don't want to say a coup de grace, but yeah, like, well, exactly.
All right, next one was really exciting.
This is the one.
Well. Khabib
Nurmagomedov
versus Michael Johnson, man. Yeah. Can you say his surname?
Nurmagomedov.
Great surname.
Yeah, Khabib the Eagle, the fighting pride of Dagestan. Yes, man, and if you guys know MMA, the sad thing to say, because of his style, he gets injured quite often. He's like a meat grinder. This guy is one of the best grapplers in the world, that Russian Sambo, and he, unfortunately, you know, he's just battling injuries, but nobody wants to fight him. And but the thing is, you know, we were talking off air, you were worried for Johnson. I'm like, man, if you take the Nate Diaz beatdown away from Michael Johnson's resume, Johnson's coming off a very spectacular knockout of Dustin Poirier. Johnson's athletic as hell, and the thing about Johnson is he believes he's already a champion. So odds on paper will show Khabib is a heavy favorite, but don't sleep on Michael Johnson. That's going to be that could be fight of the night.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if Khabib beats him, he well deserves his title shot too. So I think it's one of those things that Dana's going.
But that division's crazy.
There you go.
Yeah, you want that title shot? Have a Michael Johnson.
Yeah.
A crazy, athletic, quick. The way Johnson throws his punches, he's way less predictable than a Khabib. Khabib has his style. The one thing about him is he's so good, you know his style. Could you stop him?
Yeah.
He's going to grind you down. He's going to wear you out. He's going to try to break your will. And then, you know, as the he's not really a guy noted for finishing you off right away. I think Johnson has that advantage. If Johnson wins, I think he wins early.
Oh.
Yeah, that's my prediction. I like Michael Johnson knockout.
Do you?
Ooh! Yeah, buddy.
I'll take Khabib decision.
Yeah, lot of people are going to take Khabib on that. I just saw the way Michael looked against Dustin, and I was really impressed.
Okay, no, I won't dish you for that one.
Yeah.
Hometown boy, Frankie Edgar. That'll be good first time.
Just little heathen, Jeremy Stevens,
who Conor McGregor took the piss out of. And
who the fuck is that guy? Yeah, Stevens. Don't sleep on Stevens.
Stevens got opportunity here, man.
This is a hell of an opportunity. He's fighting a former champion. There isn't much more likable guys in MMA than Frankie Edgar when it comes to class act,
yeah,
grit, determination.
First time I went to UFC was UFC in Las Vegas on New Year's Day when he fought Maynard, number two, and he
Gray
got
Maynard.
Dropped freaking three times in the
how
first round.
How did he come back and win that?
That was a draw.
But how did he not?
But I know what you're saying.
Yeah, how did he come back and not lose? Like, that fight was a war.
I mean, it would have been a 10-1 foot round run. Like,
yeah,
it was a
freaking
out of control.
So who do you like in that fight? My heart's with Edgar.
Yeah, my heart's with Edgar, but it's kind of saying that Jeremy's got a good opportunity.
Yeah, and Edgar's coming off a loss. Stevens coming off a win. And you have to think that they're putting Edgar in front of Jeremy Stevens, thinking that Stevens could beat him.
Frankie's had a lot of tough fights.
Yeah,
man.
He has a lot
Father
of
time catches up with everyone.
Yeah, but his cardio, best cardio in the game.
Yeah, I agree.
Like those road work he puts in, he's not going to gas. I think it's going to come down to who has a better game plan. Frankie is a gritty guy. I think if Frankie stands and bangs with Jeremy, he could lose. I think Frankie has to be a smart fighter. He has to show his maturity in that octagon and outthink Stevens. If he gets into a war or a brawl, I think Stevens wins that fight. Yeah.
What happens? Might not retire.
I think so. Actually,
just bring you back just
dude,
for one.
No, man.
Bring you back for one
Gray
more.
Gray Maynard, I think, just fought in Bellator.
Did he?
And he didn't fight at 155.
It's like the Otto Gatti and Mickey Ward fights, you know what I mean? Like,
those two?
Both great fighters.
It was the styles,
They're
man.
Not Floyd Mayweather's, but it's the same as Frankie Edgar. Great fighter. No, he's not Conor McGregor, but he brings it.
Yeah, it was those styles, too, that were just perfect for a fan to watch. And also, something happens in that octagon to where a fighter has to make a choice against their opponent in regards to standing there and banging. And he just made that. You know what? Maynard fought July 8th in the UFC. He fought on the Joanna Claudia finale, and he won. He won a decision against Fernando Bruno.
Wow.
But he was coming off four straight losses. But, Frankie Edgar Stevens, like I said, I'm not going to predict who wins that, but I gave you a little bit of scenarios. So I like Edgar. I'm taking Frankie.
I think that we're going now to the main card.
Hell of a card, man. I know.
Raquel Pennington versus Miesha Tate.
That's crazy. Rocky, man, is, in my opinion, Rocky's fighting the best she's ever fought. She's been in the octagon with everybody. She's an MMA, a women's pioneer of MMA, as is Miesha. Mm-hmm. It's going to be really, really interesting to see Misha's headspace.
It's a crossroad fight, right?
Very much so, man. As was her performance, though, against Holly. Because
I think styles make fights, man. Like, I think that this is what's going to happen.
This is gritty here.
I have a feeling Ronda's going to beat Nunes. Nunes beats Holmes every day of the week. And Miesha Tate as well. Tate beats Holmes every time of the week. And Holmes beats Ronda every day of the week. Just those styles just makes fights. And that goes really interesting. They could continuously just change the belt over because they just have a ridiculous, and you know what I mean? And Ronda dominates Tate. You know what I mean? Like, it's just,
I agree with the Ronda dominating Tate. I don't agree with Tate dominating Holly every time. Holly, in my opinion, was winning that fight.
Yeah, I agree. But Miesha, I think that Miesha
in that last round, in that last round, stole that belt. She just said, "I will not be denied. I'm going to go for the takedown." But how fucking awesome is Holly going out swinging? Went out cold, didn't tap with that rear, and she's throwing punches as she's passing out. So I'm a big fan of that division. I'm a big fan of Rocky and Miesha. It's just going to come down to the headspace because Rocky is a fighter with confidence right now. She's been in the octagon with the best in the world, and she's just getting better.
How old is she?
Pennington, I would say late 20s. And the thing about her, confidence is never an issue. I think when you become a champion and then lose it, that's always – I'd like to see the stat. Like, of the fighters who have been champions in both boxing and in MMA, any combat sport, of what the stat is of the fighter who's fighting that first fight after they lost their belt, what that stat is. I wouldn't be shocked if it's around 50-50.
Hats off to Misha, though, to take a fight so quickly after losing her belt. So she must be pretty determined to actually get back out there. So
what would you be like? Like, for instance, would you be the type... I feel...
I don't know. I'd probably be crying for a couple of weeks, but then it probably hit me one day that I have to get the fuck back in the gym and just go back after it. So probably same thing, man.
Okay, so Rocky has been in there with Kat Zignano. Kat Zignano's only loss is to Ronda, and she rushed and made a bet. Kat Zignano's one of the baddest fighters on the planet, male or female.
Yep.
She's been in there with Jessica Andrade, who's a contender. She's beaten Ashley Evans-Smith. She lost a very, very, very close split decision to Holly Holm. Very close. Some people say that that Pennington won that fight. She's fought, coming off three wins in a row, Andrade, Betch Correa, and Elizabeth Phillips. So momentum is on Rocky's side, and I think it's Rocky's time, man. I like Rocky in this fight.
Yeah, nice. I'm going to go with Misha. Misha by decision, but I can see where you find a little bit of support for Raquel. So I think that'll be a great fight to kick off the main card. Next one, we've got Donald Cerrone versus Kelvin Gastelum, which, man, Cowboy looked awesome last fight.
His last few fights at 170. And Gastelum, though, people don't sleep. Don't dude, sleep Kelvin is a tough fight.
Could easily be fighter than that.
For sure. And he could easily be one or two fights away from fighting for a belt. He's really young, too, and he has really good hands. And don't let his body tight. He never walks in there with a six-pack. But Gastelum, every time, you know you're in for a fight. It'll be interesting.
This one's at 170?
Yeah, it's at 170. Gastelum's had some issues making weight before. That'll be interesting.
Yep.
But Cerrone looks like a goddamn animal at 170. He looks like a different dude. It just goes to show you how unhealthy he was fighting, how emaciated he was. Yeah, man, because you would see his clavicle sticking through the bone. You could see his AC joint in the shoulder. Mm. Now I was watching videos of him sparring at 170. You know he doesn't even spar now. He doesn't spar in the gym before the fights anymore.
Well, I guess it makes sense. Sometimes as you're getting older.
He's been in so many fights. He knows how to fight.
Yeah, exactly. How much prep do you really need? But
I think Cerrone's going to put on a show.
I'm going to go Cerrone as well.
I think he's going to put on a show. I think Cerrone, I've never seen a more confident Cerrone, but the problem is, in my opinion, he's done this to me before. I have emotions invested in Donald, and then he just doesn't show up. When the lights get the biggest and the brightest, sometimes guys just have this mental block. He's spoken freely about this, too, about the reason why during fight week he needs to be skydiving, he needs to be doing these daredevil things, because he doesn't feel comfortable with sitting in that alone
switch
space.
Off a little bit.
That alone, and you could see it against RDA when he just got totally dominated and he quit against him.
Yeah.
But that just seems like a lifetime ago since his move up to 170, so we both agree on Cowboy.
Yeah, I think it was going to be a great fight. Next one, we've got... We've got our boy, Chris Weidman, and Yoel Romero. 2-3. You know, winner probably gets the next shot.
Yeah.
Loser, unfortunately, probably go down the rankings, probably 6 or 7.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner, man. Yoel Romero.
He's a beast.
Dude, his body.
Chris is. Oh my. Right, when you think about
that's
it.
That's a dangerous fight, man.
We spoke about earlier about Chris taking on the best, man. Yep. He doesn't shy away from anybody.
No, he's a. Dude, they call him the All-American. He's a champion. Even though he doesn't have the belt. You know, he still believes he's the champ. And it's a dangerous fight, man. Like, in his hometown, Madison Square Garden, he was really vocal about getting the MMA regulated in his home state. And it's going to be a good opportunity. You know, cage rust, ring rust. He hasn't fought since that loss to Rockhold in December. You know, it might be a year, 11 months since that last fight. Romero's coming off a fight against Jacare. So he won't be as rusty. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, I think Chris. I like Chris in this.
He's such an athlete. Oh yeah, I'm cheering for Chris.
Yeah, what do you think? Is it a decision? Or
I don't know.
They're
I think
at each other straight.
Weidman's strengths are grappling. Weidman's strengths are grinding you out in wrestling. So are Romero's, though. I think it's going to come down to who gasses. Chris's gas tank traditionally has been really good. The thing is, he hasn't fought in a year. I feel if Chris wins, I think he actually finishes him in a ground and pound.
I was actually thinking about this last night. It is kind of, when you're a fighter, it can be kind of depressing when you think someone as great as LeBron James or Steph Curry, you can have an off night, unless it's game 7 of NBA finals and you have to be on. Steph had an off game. LeBron brought it. So did Kyrie. That's why the Cavs won. When you think about Chris having an off night when he fought Luke Rockhold, he was totally off.
He was injured too.
And it happens. But unfortunately, it means a more. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you lose a regular season NBA game, who cares?
The stakes are
just
super
so
high
for a fighter.
Every fight as well, let alone the belt on the line. I've never seen Chris get out of his character than that lead up with the Rockhold fight. And even after the fight, you know, in the post-fight presser, Luke was kind of mocking him, and you could see how much it affected Chris. It was interesting to see, and that's why we were talking about off-air, how Weidman, to me, seems like a guy who's pissed off who wants his belt back. That's not always the case. You see these champions, I'll use Henan Burrell, for instance. Man, before Henan Burrell lost to TJ, Burrell hadn't lost in 7 years. Burrell was dominant. Burrell was on the top of the pound-for-pound fighters list of all time, people were talking about, right? He fights a TJ Dillashaw 2 years ago, and TJ beats him. And I was as shocked as Burrell losing to TJ as I was when Anderson lost to Chris.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is Burrell never recovered from that. Burrell, you know, when he's a 500 fighter since, he's just not the same guy. He's not as crisp. He's not as confident. He lost that champion polish sort of thing. So it'll be interesting to see the way this fight plays out and to see if Chris could still kind of lean back on that, you know, champion mindset and get a W.
Yeah, I like him in the fight. Next one, I'm not even going to pronounce this.
Joanna Champion.
Joanna versus
they
Carolina.
Call her Joanna Champion. I'm going to give
Did
it a
boss
go.
Boss like Carolina in this fight?
Kovalkiewicz. No, Boss brought up a story about Joanna Janjacic had a submission victory over her in Muay Thai before.
You sure that's going to be her surname? Isn't it going to be Hinchcliffe now?
No, yeah.
Hello, Tony.
Shout out. Tony Hinchcliffe, my boy from Youngstown, Ohio. I think he
told me the other day when we went for drinks that he was going to marry Joanna.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he likes just being submissive. But yeah, Joanna Champion, Joanna Janjacic. I was at the fight in Melbourne on the Rousey home card. We were about four rows away. And I tell you what, the energy that Joanna's camp brings into that octagon. Now, remember, guys, Joanna switched camps, though, for this fight. She's been training down at Coconut Creek, Florida, at American Top Team, ATT. So something had to happen. I guess what happens when you have these people that get to a certain level, they always need to evolve and upskill themselves. And ATT is one of the probably toughest gyms in the whole world. So where I was getting at, though, is the energy before the fight even starts. Have you seen the weigh-ins? Have you seen that stare down she does? She's super intimidating. And Carolina's the total opposite. I like Kovalkiewicz's style. Like, if you YouTube her fights, right when their names are being called in the octagon as Bruce Buffer is announcing them, you see Carolina leaning up against the octagon like she's fucking in a park, just about to walk her dog. Chilled out, arms over the octagon, not even standing, not even flexed, just looking really loose, and that's her style. And that kind of has a correlation, though, with her how she fights. It takes her usually to about the second round to start opening up the playbook. She's a traditional slow starter, and Joanna traditionally will turn it on. So
much respect to her, but they've got her in the pound for pound rankings with the men. So
Carolina or Joanna?
No, Joanna.
Okay, yeah, dude. Carolina's coming off a very, very impressive win against Rose, and Rose had all the momentum in the world. And to watch how Carolina lost that first round, but then strategically placed these. You know, her striking is just a different class.
So any chance for an upset?
Of course. Am I going to pick it? No, I'm picking Joanna Champion.
It's not a name, man.
Yeah, it is.
It's Hinchcliffe.
Janjacic. Maybe, no, Tony would have to change his last name. Yeah, exactly. Tony Janjacic. For sure.
So we're going Joanna in that.
Yeah, we got a couple more left, guys.
Next one, champion Tyrone Woodley for the welterweight title against the Wonder Boy, Stephen Thompson.
Yeah, so you got Tyron Woodley coming off, in my opinion, the most impressive victory in his career, obviously against Robbie. I had Robbie in that fight. I'm a big Lawler guy.
Kind of smashed all the doubters, didn't it?
He did, man. I was one of those doubters. The way Tyron was just... The thing about Tyron is explosion. Like, the way he's able to cut the distance and space and all of a sudden be in your
Absolutely.
Grill.
Absolutely. But
be in
your best wins against Carlos Connor, and Carlos Connor was on one leg. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You know what I mean? So there's always going to be those doubts. You know, how good is he?
Until you knock out a Robbie Lawler with one punch. One punch, man. I felt weird after that fight. It, like, because I'm emotionally invested in the fight.
I wonder what he cuts, because he looks huge, man.
Oh, my God. His quads are... He's only about... I think he's about 5'8", 5'9".
Right.
But still, the way he's able to cut distance and shorten that space, I think that's what Robbie had a hard time dealing with, was gauging that distance.
Because Stephen Thompson, you know, his distancing is brilliant. He likes to fight from the outside. You've got Woodley that wants to come in and take him down.
Dude, Wonder Boy has looked like a killer. Wonder Boy has looked like a Wonder Boy. What he did to Johnny Hendricks, former champion, and how his style, he fights, you know, he's a 56-0 champion in, I think, point strike karate, or maybe it was kickboxing, one of the two. But either way, he has that style to where he's not squared up on you. He's throwing his front leg kick as a jab. He'll throw a front leg hook kick, and his hands are really good as well. So I think the advantages for both sides, if Tyron wins, Tyron shortens that space. He goes for the takedown and dominates Wonderboy on the ground, finishes him there. But because Stephen's a volume striker.
Yeah.
Stephen's not going to get a one puncher. I feel
he's
even.
Probably going to go to a decision, isn't it? Well, but he's still got power. He's still got power.
I think
five rounds is a long time.
I think Stephen, if he wins, he's going to win by picking Tyron apart.
Woodley's stamina, do you think?
I think Woodley wins the fight.
Yeah?
I think Woodley wins the fight. I'm
liking Wonderboy, man.
You like Wonderboy? I just think Woodley's power is the best neutralizer in any fight.
Yeah,
I think power trumps technique, power trumps
speed. I think speed beats power, though.
Do you? Well, you know, science says speed creates power. Yeah, you know, true. That's plyometrics. You know, body weight movements creating speed, which will then have a transfer over into power and force. But
I guess it's how Woodley has kind of handled being champion, because it must be a lot of kind of new media coming on the scene.
Well, he's
everyone wants a piece of you when you're outside. All of a sudden, you know, he was probably well known already, but it just probably went to another level in terms of him being in the supermarket, going for a coffee, you know. That kind of life-changing, just being the champion.
I think he was ready for it, though, because the way I watch him, he does a really good job on Fox Sports doing UFC cards, and he carries himself really well. He's really diplomatic in how he, you know, talks about other fighters, and he's a student of the game, and he's a grappler and wrestler originally who's just has these hands and this power that you're just born with. So I'm picking Tyron on the fact, and he's kind of grown on me, man. It's interesting what's happened in the recent... Since that Lawler fight, I think Tyron wins his fight. I think he wins by knockout.
Cool. All right, I'm going to Stephen Thompson. I think he will actually win by decision, but yeah, that's a good one. At least we got something that we Stephen's can kind of bet on. So
Woodley, Wonderboy is one of the most exciting fighters on the planet. By the way, guys, don't get it twisted. His striking is something special that the UFC has never seen before.
I just think it's his time. So he's been waiting for a long, long time for a shot. So. I think he'll take it.
It's upon us. Two weeks.
He's kind of been a little bit under, you know, behind the scenes, just going unnoticed a little bit. So I think that'll help his prep. So I'm liking Stephen Thompson. Okay, big one, main event. Probably, I don't think people realize how good Eddie Alvarez is. And he's taking on, obviously, his lightweight champ, Eddie, versus featherweight champ, Conor McGregor. It's for the lightweight title. It's going to be a huge fight, man.
What do you like?
I'm actually liking Eddie.
Yeah, I do too.
I actually think Conor will dominate the first part of the fight.
Yeah.
I just don't like his stamina.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be different. Like, I think, with all due respects to Nate Diaz, Eddie Alvarez is a better fighter than Nate Diaz.
I think Eddie Alvarez is a different fighter than Nate Diaz. I think if Nate is at his best and Eddie's at his best, I would pay top dollar to see that fight.
Absolutely. I think Eddie will take a lot more damage on Conor when he strikes, because Nate's got a different style.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's not to say that he slaps or anything like that. It's just Eddie is explosive.
I think Eddie's a light switch fighter. I think Eddie, what I mean by that is, like, a light switch flickers on when he gets hit, and he's a different type of dude. He'll bite down on that mouthpiece. The fucking kid sparred 200 rounds before the RDA fight, the Dos Anjos fight. Sparred 200 rounds. He's the underground king for a reason. The kid has held belts in every promotion he has fought for. He's a Philadelphia kid. He knows what it's like to come. He's a kid from the streets.
You know what the biggest thing will be? Is how Eddie handles
that
being in a promotion with Conor McGregor.
100%. And I'm excited. They're going to start shooting it probably soon, right?
I don't think it's because he's not good enough. I think it's
a head game.
That thing going into Madison Square Garden. Same as things with Tyron Woodley being the champ. How do you handle being the champ? How do you handle knowing every day you have to fight Conor, everyone asking you about the fight every single day, and the expectation of you to win the fight?
Yeah, what does that translate over to when the bell goes off? Like,
and to think this fight will be watched by more people than he's ever had in his whole career.
Yeah,
combined.
Yeah, I just read an article that New Zealand and Australia is going to start showing the UFCs in theaters, movie theaters.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be. I would rather go see that than a 2-hour movie, because that what better drama? Like, how great are the fights?
That's awesome.
But back to Eddie. Yeah, right. I read it just yesterday. The thing about Eddie, I don't think Eddie's going to get psyched out by Conor. I feel, though, that it's interesting when we were talking to Rob Whittaker, another middleweight contender, Australia's own. He was talking about a bizarre phenomenon occurs when all the lights are on you, you're in the octagon, Buffer's calling your name out, there's tons of people in the octagon, and then all of a sudden it just empties and vanishes in a split second. Now it's just you and your opponent. And that's what I like watching and honing in on, is the headspace and identifying their mannerisms. For one, at the weigh-ins, I love the weigh-ins just as much as I like the fights. You know, I have a background in psychology, and I like watching how people carry themselves. And sometimes when I gamble, if I put money on these fights, a lot of it has to do of that stare down and how they were on the scales, how they looked. So before I make a complete prediction, I'd have to wait till the weigh-ins. But my heart is with Eddie. My wallet would probably be with Connor.
Yeah.
You know, that's something my dad always said. I would always bet on my home team. He's like, Johnny, never bet with your heart, bet with your wallet.
Yeah, I think it'll be brutal. I think Connor's going to come out all guns blazing as he usually does. I think that first kind of round and a bit will tell us a lot about the fight. But Eddie, I think he'll be well in. He's got his own skills and his own explosiveness. I think he'll be well in this fight. And I think
I can't wait for this
fight. I think there might be a submission maybe late in the fourth.
Oh, you think so? Eddie pounds him down, pulls a sort of Nate Diaz, and then submits him because of a heavy shot?
Well, I guess, yeah, I agree with that. Like, I think the thing with Connor is that he smoked so many people coming through his career. He never really became that Nate Diaz fight was his first five-round fight, was it?
Yeah, it was. Well, no, the first one didn't go five. He got submitted in the second.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But through all the championship fights, he's never even gone to the distance, has he?
No. Max Holloway. He fought his second fight, and Holloway hasn't lost since this fight, and people were sleeping on Max. I'm a big fan of Max. Max fought him as a 20-year-old, and it went
all three or a five.
It was just a three-rounder. Yeah. But Connor tore his knee in the second.
That's right.
When they were rolling, and he tore his ACL. But Max was a young kid. So that was the fight that went to the distance, and Connor was apologizing to his fans that he didn't finish him. But I think, though, that people are overhyping the Connor's gas tank. I mean, he went five rounds with Nate. Nate does marathons and triathlons. So to say that Connor gassed, I don't believe that. If Connor would have gassed, he would have lost the fight. He won that fight, and it went all five rounds. So was he as sharp as he is in the first round? No. Did he have enough moxie and, you know, wherewithal to withstand Nate Diaz and win the fight? Yeah, and he did. And so
he's hitting a smaller punching bag too. Do you know what I mean? Think about hitting different punching bags. You gas when you hit a bigger punching bag.
Yeah.
Come 15 pounds is a... You know, it's going to be a big advantage for Connor. But I'm just still a little bit skeptical.
See, the thing I'm skeptical about with Connor isn't his gas tank. It's his heart. I'm still not sold that he likes to bleed. I'm still not sold that he likes to get hit. I know damn well the Underground King Eddie Alvarez likes to bleed. He likes to get hit. He wants to be in a street fight. He wants to be in a meat grinder. He's a light switch fighter.
Yeah.
That light switch comes on. I'm just not sold. I watch Connor's face change in that, you know, against Nate. And it happened against he got clipped against Chad. And he should have lost that fight, by the way. Chad had him in a deep submission on the ground, and if Connor just wasn't so damn talented with his hip dexterity to be able to get out of that submission, he would have lost that fight. So I think it comes down to, I think, the toughness. Mm. And that's why I think Eddie Alvarez is tougher than Connor McGregor.
Yeah, cool. I think I'm going to go for Eddie by submission, but I do have a sense that we could see a deer in the headlights, unfortunately, because that's tough. Going to Madison Square Garden in front of the whole world against Connor McGregor, I just don't know how I would handle it. So
yeah, you guys got to YouTube the old Eddie Alvarez Michael Chandler fights. There's two of them.
For the time being, I'm going to tip Eddie submission fourth.
Okay, I like Eddie Alvarez knockout in the second.
Yeah,
yeah.
Didn't you just say you're going for Connor?
No, I said money wise, but hearts with Eddie. Right now, I'm not putting money on the fight. I'm just saying where my heart is. Yeah, buddy.
All right, guys. Hope you enjoyed that. You know, a little bit of a different podcast this week. A bit of a preview plus Chris. If you do, just remember to download that free ebook, guys. So it's the abs routine set by me and Johnny. So just jump on the website, www.thevisionboardpodcast.com. There's also another little tab /ebook that you can also go to access it. Just leave your email and your name, and we'll send that straight to you.
Yeah, also, guys, this episode is brought to you by Onnit. Go to our website, www.thevisionboardpodcast.com/Onnit. Onnit prides themselves on being a human optimization brand. They have products all across the board, from nootropics like Alpha Brain. They have Shroom Tech. They have various proteins. Dolce Way is a popular one. Their merchandise is pretty cool. I like rocking the green on a t-shirt. They got the Primate kettlebells. They got the steel maces. When you're going through the checkout, checking out the products, please be sure to use keyword Vision Board to receive 10% off of all of your purchases. Also, if you have any questions before you purchase these things, You know, I know I get a couple messages every now and then about before people purchase what this product is like. Feel free to message us and, you know, communicate with us as well, because we're not only promoting the brand, but we also take them as well.
Definitely, guys. So, you know, give us an email, info@thevisionboardpodcast.com. Just remember, share all these with your friends if you can on social media. Leave us a quick 5-star review on iTunes if you've got an iPhone. We appreciate the support. Get in touch, and we always love interacting with everyone that's listening.
Excellent. Follow the Vision Board Podcast on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. You can follow the hosts as well. Follow me on Instagram and Facebook, Johnny Stofko, and Tristan Cannell at Tristan Cannell. That's K-N-E-L-L for all you ladies.
Cannell boy.
That big boy.
Yeah, all right, Johnny. Great interview. I'm sure that we'll be watching the card in the next couple of weeks.
For sure. Maybe we'll do a Facebook Live. I know my boys back in Youngstown, they don't like dropping the $50 for the UFCs. So maybe we'll do a little cheeky live and do a little bit of commentary for you. I know some of the homies like that.
Big shout out to the guys back home.
Yeah. Albert Sly, the pride of Southside, Youngstown, Ohio. My man.
Johnny, you have a great week.
You man. Too, big dog. This was fun.
Talk to you soon.
Peace.
Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast. Stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching an itch, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working hard at it. You know, nothing comes easy these days, and, you know, you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts, so just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are 2 for 2.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.